Going into our series, continuing our series on fleshing out this go that the Lord has placed within our hearts and within the life of our church. The Lord has put us on a go. And now this is the fifth week of this series on Wednesday nights that we've just been calling the Go Initiative. And I've just taken the four aspects of the go that the Lord has put into our heart and combine them with the pace. I've put that together, and we've been talking about this now for the past 4 weeks, and we're going to hit this again tonight. The go that God has put within our church and has called us to, and really it's not just for our church, it's for any believer. This is a go that is in our life, should be at all times. Four aspects of the go. We are to go after God. And we've already talked about that, but we go after God. That's dealing with our pursuit. Our pursuit, our hunger, our desire for God. So part of the go is you go after God. The second part, we've been dealing with this part now for a few weeks, is that we are to go for Christ. And we're going to hit that again tonight. But we go after God. That's our pursuit. And then we are to go for Christ. That deals with representation. We represent Christ in our world. We represent Christ to our world. We talked about the concept of going for. We'll catch you back up on that and pull that together for you tonight. But to go for is to go on behalf of. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus that we speak on behalf of Christ. We go for Him. For is believing in the cause of Christ. We talked about that last week, that we've got a lot of people that claim Christ, but they don't really believe in the cause of Christ. And we talked about the cause of Christ is always about love. And we left off last week talking about the way that Christ loves. I told you if we are going to go for Christ, believing in the cause of Christ, then we have to understand what, why, and how He loves so that He can love through us. And we dealt with that last week, and we talked about the what. We talked about the who. He loves the world, the lost, the broken, the body of Christ, the family. He loves the hurting. We talked about that. And we talked about the why of His love, because it's His nature. He loves because eternity is at stake, and He loves because He's created us for more. And then we finished up talking about how He loves. And I want to recap that for you real quickly, and then we're going to dive into the rest of this tonight. But how does He love? He loves, number one, unconditionally. How many realize the love of Christ and the love of the Father is unconditional? That means He loves because we are created in the image of God. He loves us. We were created for fellowship with the Father through Christ, and He loves us because of that. But He also, His love is conditional. Because even though He loves all, sinner, saint, everyone in between, everyone in and out, He loves all. His love carries promises with it, but those promises are conditional. In that, He loves us, but we must have faith in Him to walk in His promises. And so His love is unconditional. He'll never quit loving us. He'll never quit loving anyone in this world, whether they reject Him, accept Him, or whatever. But His love has conditions with it that to live in His promises and to live in the life that He wants to give you, you must have faith in Him as your Savior. And then the third way that how He loves is He loves responsibly. For those who have faith in Christ, He loves responsibly in that whom He loves, He chastens. He disciplines. So He teaches us. He corrects us when necessary. And we are to love the same way because we are going for Christ. So in other words, we love everyone in this world. Doesn't matter how we judge them or what we think of them or how bad we think they are or how good we think they are. We are to love because Christ loves. That is not up for debate. Every human being on the planet Earth is to be loved by followers of Christ. Amen. I don't know how to make it any more broad than that. If they are a human being on this earth, they are to be loved by followers of Christ. Because Christ loves them. In fact, the Bible says the Father loves this world so much He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says, while we were yet enemies against Him, God loved us. So we are to love Everyone. That is unconditional. It doesn't matter what we think of a person. We might think, well, that person, they're so far gone, I don't know if there's even hope for that. We are called to love them through Christ, right? But we are called also to share with the world the conditions of the life of Christ. That's love. If we love the world, we will tell them the truth. And that is the only way to live the full life in Christ is to have faith in Christ. So we will love unconditionally, but we will also be truthful in that there are conditions in love that releases the life of Christ in a heart. And then if we are in fellowship with believers among the body, we will love responsibly. And the Bible says if you see your brother taken in a fault, it doesn't say go and talk about him to everybody else or go run them down or judge them. It says go to them responsibly and share with them the truth of the error. Perhaps you might win your brother or sister. Amen. And so we are to love responsibly. So we need to understand that to go for Christ means to believe in the cause of Christ, and therefore we must love as he does. Now we're going to talk about another aspect of going for Christ. And we're going to finish this up tonight on going for Christ. And then the final two that we'll deal with, it's going after God. That's desire, passion. That's pursuit. It's going for Christ. That's representation. And then we go through the Spirit. That's empowerment. That's how we make all of this happen. Christ through us and the Spirit of God empowering us. And then we are to go to others. That's our mission. Our mission, and we're going to talk about the other two, but tonight we're going to finish up on going for Christ, and we're going to talk about going for Christ as an act of service, and going for Christ is guidance and direction on our assignment. And so we're going to deal with those tonight and close this portion out of the go. Take your Bibles, turn with me if you would to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31, one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to, some versions, some translations will say, for the glory of God. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to, for the glory of God. Okay? Now turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, his Son, through whom also he made the worlds, through Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We'll just stop there at verse number 3. Christ is the glory of God. So back to 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whatever you do, in drink, in deed, in food, whatever you do, do all to for the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? Christ is the glory of God. So do all for Christ. So we are going for Christ. That is the plan, the purpose, and that is the enacting of the go that God has called us to. So turn with me now, and this is where we're going to focus tonight. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, 3, and 4. Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to get into this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable what? Service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Let's look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. One more verse, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. I'm going to go to one more, verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And we're going to talk tonight in the concept of going for Christ. We're going to talk about going for Christ means going in service and in his will. Guided, directed by his will. And we're going to talk, we are all one in Christ. So when we go for him, we are going in service. That's our act of service. And we discover the will of God when we go for Christ. Okay? So that's where we're going to look tonight. Christ is the glory of God. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Let me tell you three things, and I've just got some things I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Three things that I want to hit right up front. So you need to understand that you and I, we are created for Christ as his body to carry his love. It's what we talked about last week. His love is in his body. We love one another. That's how all will know we are the disciples of Christ, that we love one another. So we are created for him as his body. You got to catch this. Second thing, we are created for him, for Christ, as his instruments. Because not only are we his love to the world, but we are in his hands. Instruments. And then the third thing, we are created for him, for Christ, as his vessels. We are made new creatures, new creations, and we carry within him what he desires to impart through us. Okay? So we are created as his body. Love defines his body. We are created as instruments in his hand to be used in service for him. And we are created new creations, his vessel, to perform his will. This is how we can evaluate, are we going for Christ? Are we full of his love? Are we being his instruments? And is my body his vessel to be used for his will? So you got to ask yourself those questions. So as we go through this, those need to be the questions that we are continually asking ourselves. Okay? If I'm part of his body, is his love defining me as I reach out to the world? Am I his instrument to be used in this world? Am I willing to do whatever he wants me to do to be in service for him? And is this vessel his vessel? So that his will can be performed through it. Paul wrote and said, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, as long as I'm alive on this earth, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen? I'm his vessel. See, we've got Christians that don't understand that. You are his vessels. You're not your own. You've been purchased with a price. You don't live to yourself and to your own selfish desires. We now live for Christ. Amen? We now live and exist for Christ to use us. For Christ to show and reveal through us. This has really captured my mind as I have been studying and preparing for this. My purpose and your purpose as followers of Christ, as the body of Christ, is to be used and for Christ to show and reveal us. Do you know, how many remember the story of the prophet Hosea? In the Old Testament. Hosea, Old Testament prophet. You find him after Daniel. You can read about his life. Do you know, Hosea was used by God in a very unusual way. He was used as a vessel of God. And I, you know, we probably don't want God to use us the way he did Hosea. But God told Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to take a wife The King James Version says of harlotry. Prostitute. Once you go take a wife, he had children with her, and then she leaves him and goes back to prostitution. And God says, go back and take her again. Because Hosea's entire life and ministry was a picture used by God for a purpose. Now that began to capture my mind as I'm praying over this being used for Christ as a vessel and going for Christ as an instrument and being a vessel that carries His will and full of His love. All of a sudden I began to realize, then if that's who I am, then my choices are not about my selfish desires. My choices become, will I be obedient to God so God can use me in His service correctly? If I'm going for Christ, He's going to be able to use me. You know, Abraham was a picture. Abraham was a picture of faith. He's the father of faith. God said, when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, I want you to leave and go to a land I'll show you. He'd never been there before. And God said, I'll take care of you. God said, before you ever got there, everywhere you put your foot, I'll bless and I'll give it to you. And Abraham went, and as long as he walked in faith, he received what God said to him. Now, he did not receive fully. He only saw it from a distance, but he was a picture for what faith looks like. Isaiah understood this in Isaiah chapter 6. When he's before the throne and the glory of God is revealed to him, he says, man, what a wretched man that I am. And God says, who will go for us? And Isaiah somehow mustered up enough strength after getting himself back up off the ground before the presence of God. And he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll be your vessel. I'll be your instrument. See, if we are going to go for Christ, we are going to have to be willing to be instruments of Christ. We are going to have to be willing to pursue the will of Christ. It's going to be, we have to make this our prayer. Use me for your glory. Now, before you say that prayer, understand what that prayer means. Use me for your glory means more than just always bless me, Lord, so everybody see how good you are. All right? That's a whole different prayer. Use me for your glory. Whatever your purpose is, let my life be an example of that. Amen. Okay. Use my life. Use my story all for you. Do you know the story of your life is to be used for God's glory? Amen. If we're going to go for Christ, the story of our life is no longer our story. It's God's story, and it's the story of Christ's redemptive power. Every one of us are a story for the world to see of the redemptive power and glorious goodness of Christ. And we need to be willing to be that for Him. I wrote down some things here and in my prayer time that came to me. If I walk through the fire, it's for you. Three Hebrews went into the fire. You know what they were? They were vessels for God to tell His story. Amen. Yeah, they were willing vessels. If I sleep in a lion's den, it's for your glory. Right? You know Daniel? He was thrown into the lion's den, but he was there because he was a vessel of the Father. Come on now. He was there for God's glory. If I face the giants, it's for you. If I come against giants, it's for the Lord's glory. It's for His purpose. I'm just His vessel. My life is His story. Now, it's going to help you if you'll hear this. If I fail and find repentance, it's for you. Because if I get it, you remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba? And the prophet, was it Nathan, came to him and said to him this story of this wicked king that steals the, or that takes the one little poor sheep of the one little servant. David is fighting mad. Well, that's not just, and he deserves to die for that. And the prophet points his finger at David and said, "It's you, king." And David went and bitterly repented. But do you know what? That was for God's glory. Now, God didn't want him to fall, but when he fell and repented, God adds that to his story. Come on. See, we're ashamed of our past, but God says, if you go for Christ, I'll use your past for my story. Amen? Because you're going for my glory, because it's no longer you that lives. It's a story I'm telling to the world. You're my vessel. You're my instrument. You're my person that's going to carry my will. So you need to walk with me. If I carry a new revelation to the world, it's not for me to gain glory. It's for his glory. That's what Paul found out. Paul was given a revelation that no one else had ever seen up until that time. The revelation of grace. Mercy. This new Christ sealed it, but it was Paul that really delivered it into the world. And it wasn't so Paul would be lifted up and made a saint and worshiped. It was for Christ's glory. If I'm sick, diseased, or dead, and find healing, recovery, or resurrection, it's for you, Lord. They said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither one, before the glory of God." Amen? Lazarus was 4 days dead. And Jesus shows up, and they said, "Oh, it's not possible." And he said, "If you'll just believe, I am the resurrection and the life. God's going to get glory out of this." Come on now. We need to understand everything about our lives now. We are his vessel. We are his instruments. We are given his love. And this life is no longer about us. We are to go for Christ. We are representing Christ to our world. And our story is a part of that. So here's what it's going to take from us in order to find and that we can be his instrument and find that we are his vessel. To find his will. Here's what it's going to take of us. You ready? Three things. You have to be faithful, obedient, and willing. Notice I didn't say capable. Because you don't have to be capable. I didn't say proficient in whatever it is God called you to do. Because you don't have to be proficient. You don't have to have expertise in order to be used of God. You have to be faithful. You have to be obedient, and you have to be willing. Amen? So whatever it looks like, I'm going to tell you, this is going to help you. Because when I was seeing this in my study time and preparing for this and praying, but all of a sudden, I began to realize if I can be faithful, obedient, and willing, I can be joyful in any circumstance. Because all of a sudden I realize if I'm faithful, obedient, and willing through anything that I go through, because I'm his vessel, I'm his instrument, I'm going for him, his love is pouring through me, I'm his picture in this world. If I'll be faithful, willing, and obedient, I can always have joy because I'm fulfilling his purpose. You ever felt like your life was not fulfilling his purpose? Amen. Surely what I'm going through here isn't for God's glory. But do you know what? He can get God's glory out of any situation. If you go for him. You and I are a representation of Christ when we go for Christ. We are a reflection of Christ when we go for Christ. We are a book that he has written. We're living epistles. The word tells us. We're a house that carries his glory. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's who we are. You are a conduit for Christ. Amen. How many of you like to paint? Anybody? Anybody like to paint? Do I have any artists in here? There's one a little bit. Doesn't mean you're a great artist. You like to paint, right? My wife loves to color. She gets down with Noah makes him color sometimes because she likes to color. And he says, Papa, color with us. And Papa doesn't like to color. So I say, Papa can't stay in the lines. And then Gigi says, oh, Papa, get down here and color. So I have to get down and color with him. If you are an artist, listen now, every painting, you know what the painting has to do? You know what the canvas has to do in order to be the artist's rendition of whatever the artist wants that painting to be? Do you know what the canvas's job is? To receive the brushstroke. The canvas's purpose, all it has to do is receive the stroke of the artist. And the next thing you know, after the artist has worked on it a while and the canvas has received the strokes that the artist has put upon it, all of a sudden that canvas becomes a beautiful painting in the right hands. And all it did was receive. It was faithful to sit there and not reject the touch of the artist. It was willing to be used. And it obediently received and adhered the strokes that were placed upon it. Different canvases take different materials to be put upon them. We're all unique in God's hands. And what God has done for one may not stick on you. You don't use the same material to paint on a canvas as you do on a glass. Come on now. So the glass has to receive the right stroke from the artist to be the beautiful stained glass that you see. The canvas has to receive. Whatever the object is, all it has to do is receive. It is the artist's work. Let me tell you something that we need to understand in this concept of going for Christ. All we have to do is receive His touch upon us. In every weakness, in every hurt, in every struggle, in every area of intimidation, in our weaknesses, in our strengths, in our good, in our bad, in our redemption story, or in our victory story, it is all about receiving the touch of Christ upon us. And if we are faithful and we are obedient and we are willing, we will become His masterpiece to represent Him to the world. Amen? No, do you know the artworks when you go buy them? The art is great, but the name signed on it is what makes it valuable. Amen. Because you can get the same piece of artwork, and if it's a knockoff, I've told you the story of going to New York City and wanting to buy the Rolex from the guy, you know, out of the coat, fake Rolex. He wanted too much, ended up in Battery Park buying one from a guy out of a suitcase. It was as fake as they come. Probably the Rolex was spelled wrong on it. I don't know. It said Rolex, though. But you know what? It wasn't made by the right maker, and it wasn't worth anything. Come on. See, you can buy it. You can get the knockoff copy. But that's not what makes it a value. What makes it a value is the artist's signature to show it's an original. Whew, come on now. I want to tell you, the Lord wants you to be an original for Him. He has painted you to be a representation of Him to the world. And He does that through your weaknesses, and He does that through your failures, and He does that through your struggles, and He does that through your hurts, and He does that through your areas that you didn't think anything good could come out of, and all of that went into the painting. He is the great Bob Ross of our life. Right? He doesn't have the big hair like Bob Ross. I don't guess he does anyway. I don't know. But, you know, he said, and let's just put a happy little tree right here. I can just see the Lord painting us and the picture of us to represent Him. And right in the midst of our hurt, He says, let's just put a happy little breakthrough right here. And he makes us unique, and he makes us his masterpiece, and we can go for him in representation. And all we had to do was be faithful, obedient, and willing. We are a reflection of him. You know what a reflection has to do? A reflection simply has to receive the image. That's all a reflection does. It receives the image, and then the light around it causes the reflection. Amen. All you got to do is receive what Christ is trying to do through you. We are a book that is written. You know what a book does? A great book. All it did was receive the lines written upon it by the author. And those books, they're worth, some of those books that are old, that are original manuscripts, they're worth multiple amounts of money. Just because that book received the lines the author wrote on it. The author's not around. The book's around. The painting is here, but the artist is gone. But the value is in what he left his mark upon. Amen. Jesus is not walking this earth right now except through us. But we are his book. We are his painting. We are his reflection. Come on, are y'all with me? We are a conduit. You know what a conduit does? All a conduit does, it receives whatever is poured into it and it distributes it out the other side. But do you know that the Romans had such a marvelous system that they could go into arid places and with the right conduits they could redirect water, that it could bring life into areas that were lost, that were desert, that had no ability to grow. But because they had the wisdom to set things up to where they could handle the water and run them everywhere they wanted them to go. Do you know that's what we are? And all the conduit does is receive what's poured into it and lets it flow through them. Are you getting the concept? We go for Christ. And our job is to receive, to be faithful, to be obedient, to be willing. And if you can catch this, you can be joyful in anything. Because whatever you're facing, you're a picture he's painting. And I've never known him yet to paint a picture that didn't turn out to be a great work of art. One of the worst pictures we see in the Bible is the picture of Job. Amen? That's one of the worst. He loses everything. But do you know when the book ends? He still had lost everything, but God had blessed him. And he had twice as much when the book ends as he had when the book began. And he went through some rough times. He went through some things that we can't even imagine. He went through some hard times. But you know what? God used him to be an amazing picture of God's ability in man's life. Some of your stories are horrific. Let's be honest. Some of our stories are hard to believe. Some of our stories represent pain that we can't understand. And it's not that God put the pain on you, but God will use the pain and turn it into a great picture of his grace and his mercy. Amen. See, and all you have to do is receive his healing, receive his grace, receive his strokes as he turns in what looked to be nothing into something great. You go for him. You're a representation. You're a reflection. You're a book. You're a house. You're a conduit. My job is to receive. The Lord took me to the scripture that River Life, the name River Life was birthed in Ezekiel 47 and 9, where it talks about the river that ran out from under the temple. under the throne, and the river ran out, and the prophet Ezekiel goes out and he measures out and walks out, and it's water to his ankles, waters to his knees, waters to his waist, and then water so deep he has to swim in it. And then it talks about that there's fish of all types, and there's life, and Ezekiel 47:9 says, everywhere the river moves, there is life. Amen. And let me tell you this. When you go for Christ, everywhere you go, there's life around you. Because you're His picture. You're His river. You're carrying what has come out of His throne. You are carrying what you are filled up with what has come from Him. You are a reflection from what has flowed out of Him into our world. And therefore, everywhere we go, when we are receiving and we are faithful and we are obedient and we are willing, life is around us. This is our go. This is what God, this is what He meant when He said, go. He meant go after God, pursue, desire. But He meant you go, and everywhere you go for Christ. You represent Christ in this world. You go in the authority of His name. And when you go, you speak those words that are full of His authority. You go in His love. Loving the way He loved, and loving who He loved, and loving why He loves. But you go in service, understanding that you're His picture to this world. Are you representing Christ? Are you going for Christ? Or are you representing your own self? You go as an act of service, as a reflection, as a follower. Romans 12, 1 and 2, 1 through 3 there told us, this is our reasonable service. Amen. George, will you put that up for me? Romans chapter 1. Or Romans 12 and 1, I'm sorry. I want you, here's what he said. He said, it's your reasonable service. So we being many. No, there you go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service. You're faithful, you're obedient, you're willing, you receive, you lay your body on the altar, you lay your life down, and you say, now my life is yours, Lord. That's my reasonable service, because that's how I become a picture for Christ. That's how I become a conduit for Christ. That's how I become a book for Christ. That's how my life is for Christ, and how I go for Him. It's reasonable of me. It's my service. And then verse number 2, he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you go for Christ, you prove what the will of God is in your life. And you prove it by becoming His life to this world. Do you realize tonight you live for more than yourself? You know what your family needs to see? They need to see what going for Christ looks like. And they're going to see it through you. They need to see your life, and they need to see the handprint of Christ on your life. And you need to point them to that. You know what your job, people in your job need to see? They need to see the handprint of Christ on your life. That you're reflecting Him. That you're going for Him. You go for Him every day, every moment, everywhere you're at. I'm for Him. This is not my life. I'm proving His will every day of my life. I'm giving myself in service. I'm receiving. I'm faithful. I'm willing. I'm obedient. I'm receiving. So that's my service. But my service produces His will. And if my mind will be transformed to see that way, and I will not allow myself to be conformed to the way of this world, I will go for Christ and I will be successful. Amen. And I was praying even just this afternoon about what I was going to share with you tonight. And I was going through this in my mind. And it just hit me, and it's hit me over and over and over and again today. It hit me. I can understand this, I can be joyful through anything. Who or what shall separate me from the love of God? In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Amen? What I go through here, I just consider light affliction, because I'm a picture for Christ. And don't judge my picture for Christ until it's finished. Have you ever been in, you know, services or somewhere? I know it's popular. I don't know if it still is. It was popular not long ago. Things change so quickly. You don't know what's popular and what's not anymore. But used to, not long ago in youth ministry, it was real popular that while a person was preaching, there's somebody that's putting together a drawing. And it doesn't look like anything. And it's just lines, and they're just putting all this together. And then at the end, they take it and they'll turn it upside down, and all of a sudden you realize it's a beautiful rendition of some artwork. Sometimes it was a face of Christ, or sometimes it was a cross scene, or sometimes something, and you never saw it until it was finished. You know, that's how we are a lot of times, but people are watching you while you're unfinished to see what you'll become when you are finished. Man. So when I'm going through something, it's not a time to hide, because the people around me might miss the finished work of Christ. It's a time to stay steady until He's finished in that picture and I can reveal His glory. Amen. Go for Christ. Go after God. Because you've got to do that first. Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. Go for God. Pursue passion. Go after God, but go for Christ in representation. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Next week, we're going to talk about going through the Spirit. What does that look like? God's fleshing this go out for us. And He's saying, if you'll go after me, and you'll go for Christ, and you go through the Spirit, and then you go to others the right way, I'll do everything I've said I'd do. Are you willing? Will we be faithful? And will we be obedient to receive? We're going to pray.